Many of you know former Boston City Councilor Tito Jackson, who is also the CEO of Verdant Medical Incorporated, a medical marijuana company, as a regular on this show. He also ran for mayor of the city of Boston in 2017, and during that campaign, he talked a lot about being adopted, and he had already done a bit of research into his birth family. What he found out was troubling. His mother had been sexually assaulted as a young girl and was forced to give up the baby that was Tito. After the election, Tito decided to take that step, search a step further. In 2018, he and his mother, Rachel, finally reunited. Earlier this week, the three of us, Rachel Twyman, Tito Jackson, and I, talked about that reunion, each of us in a different remote location because of the pandemic. And Tito began by telling us how his quest first began. And I do want to give a quick warning. Parts of this conversation may be difficult for survivors of sexual assault or for those who have had painful adoption experiences.
In college, I had a physician who was a pain in my butt at the University of New Hampshire, and he asked me about pre-existing conditions in my family, and I said, listen, man, I'm adopted, so I'm just going to assume that all of that stuff in there is stuff that I might have a previous family history. And he said, you know, even though it's a closed adoption state in Massachusetts, you can call the adoption agency and find out what happened or kind of a narrative. And at that time, there was an organization called, well, it's been taken over by the Home for Little Wanderers now, but I think it was called Boston Children's Services. And I called them up and they sent me a narrative that was pretty disturbing. And in fact, it came at an intersection in my life where I was part of a program at the University of New Hampshire called the Sexual Harassment and Rape Prevention Program, where I was learning how to be a first responder to people who had been assaulted. And I was going to be speaking at Take Back the Night. And so the letter came to me right the day before I spoke at Take Back the Night. And it said that my mom had been assaulted by two men. And so that was really hard. And so the years passed. And then I finally reach out to the Home for Little Wanderers. You send in a little fee. And then within 2 or 3 months, I got a call from a social worker there that said, we found your mom. We just spoke to her 5 minutes ago, and her name is Rachel. I'm not gonna give your phone number out, but they gave me her phone number. and that began the connection, because I called her 5 minutes later.
Well, I can't imagine, Rachel, that phone call. Tell us about that moment.
Well, I told the lady, it can't be my son because he's dead, because my family told me that he was dead. So I went back in my house and I woke up my other son. I was crying and I was probably the most anxious person in the world. And this was before Tito called me, and I woke up my other son, my oldest son, and I'm like, your brother's alive. There's a guy that says he's your brother. And it was just crazy. And then he called me. And he explained to me what he had done in his life and how he had got adopted and how he's been searching for me. And I just told him that we need to meet so I can tell him the truth of how he was conceived and brought into this world and what a horrible time and what a horrible life I've had. Just dealing with that particular part of my life.
Tito, I want to go back to Rachel and talk a little more in a minute, but hearing your birth mother tell this story now in such a brave and straightforward way, what do you find yourself thinking when you hear that out loud?
I just, you know, I think about, you know, when I went in to meet Rachel, I was really selfish. And I was very much thinking about myself, about this piece that was missing in my life and that I wanted to complete myself and kind of square off all of these things. And I was very self-absorbed at that time. And then when I met Rachel, basically instantly my self-absorption went to think about what it would mean for a 12-year-old girl to be raped, and also, you know, most of the interest in Rachel's life was in the book The Common Ground. Everyone wants to talk about desegregation. Some people call it forced busing. But she was a 12-year-old girl with a baby in her belly who was on a bus that people on the bus were essentially assaulting her, and also people outside of the bus. That's surreal to think about what that must have been like. And so essentially, I was thinking about myself, and when it comes down to it, you know, Rachel had to live that life and deal with all of those things well before I was even brought into this world. So it makes me think about the systems that I worked in as a city councilor and working in the state government. All of those systems, including the Boston Public Schools, where I was chair of the Committee on Education on the Boston City Council, they failed my mom.
Rachel, a version of your story is told in J. Anthony Lucas's Common Ground, A Turbulent Decade in the Lives of Three American Families. As Tito just talked about, the book talks about how you were bused to Charlestown from the South End as part of the desegregation efforts in the 1970s. You've also told us just a horrific part of your story. You said that Tito's conception and birth obviously were traumatic, and that for a while after, you didn't think about the baby you had given birth to because it was too painful. What made you start thinking of that baby again?
In 2010, my middle son got murdered in New Bedford. And it another devastating blow.
Yeah,
unexpected. Unexpected. So now I have two sons that have been taken from me. And I have a very, very good friend, Zelta Brooks, who stands by my side and who has always tried to help me get through this. And she said, you know, Rach, maybe it's time to start looking for that baby. And that's what I really consciously started looking for him. Because for a long time, I could not deal with the situation that I was raped.
Rachel, after your middle son was murdered and you decided at a friend's encouragement to go looking for that baby that is Tito, at that point, had you been told that he was dead?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I was told that he lived in a different state. He was in Ohio or Detroit. He was a gangster, drug dealer. He's running the streets. He got shot up. I was told all of that. This is by my mother's sister and brother. But the bigger problem is I had no access or way to find Tito. All the avenues that I thought I could possibly go through to find this child were closed doors. So everything was in Tito's hand. So if he didn't find me, I'd still be in the wilderness about this.
So then he finds you. You get the phone call. You wake up your other son. You tell him. You talk with Tito. And you discover that he is a person who has dedicated a chunk of his career to disparities, to righting inequalities, to taking on some of the systemic racism in the community that you experienced. How did it feel to know that that boy who you thought was gone had been out doing that work?
I was so happy. I was so happy. I'm proud of all my children. He just happens to be the one that was in the political limelight, which I had nothing to do with. All I did was bring this young man into the world. So he chose a path, maybe possibly because of how he saw his life, but I'm just glad that he wanted to give back. And it's a blessing that he's in that limelight, and it helps me get to where I need to be at.
I want to acknowledge Rachel for attempting to find me. And I think it's important that, Rachel, you talk about what happened when you made that attempt at Boston City Hall.
The death of my son really had me distraught. Through those tears, my youngest son told me, he says, Ma, we're going to go to City Hall, see if we can get the birth certificate. So we drive from New Bedford to City Hall. I went down to the birth certificate window, and I finally put 1975, and I put April. And I wrote baby boy Twyman. And I gave the paper to the lady. Me and my son stood there for a long time. And the lady came back to the window and she said, I can't help you. I can't help you because you need a lawyer. I said, what are you talking about? That's my baby. So my youngest son, he just picked me up and took me outside. It was so devastating because why doesn't nobody want to help me find this child? Oh, my God. I was just a ball of tears.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
One also just surreal piece about that is that while Rachel was on the second floor at City Hall, I was on the fifth floor because I was a city councilor.
How does that feel, Tito?
Ships passing in the night. We have figured out that I went to Sunday school with my brother, that Rachel babysat my chief of staff, Michelle, when she was a kid, because they lived in the same building, and that I was effectively campaigning Tiziana, because I, when I was running for mayor, I gave my mom and my brother's campaign literature and asked them for their vote for the city, for the mayor of the city of Boston. So that means my campaign manager and campaign staff will be very happy to know that I distributed literature to them. And, you know, we have walked, we've literally been in the same place multiple times in our life. And this has been a long journey. It's been circuitous, but when it comes down to it, it has been so worth the journey, because I now have two amazing moms who are both 5'1", and they are giants, and I am literally the luckiest human being on earth to be able to have two moms, and Rachel and my mom Rosa. That might mean I might have been a bad kid. I had to have two, you know, it is so satisfying to be able to connect with my mom and then also my brothers, because they were that missing piece and part of me.
So you have these two now. Your birth mother is a petite powerhouse. Your adoptive mother is a petite powerhouse. I want to ask you about your adoptive parents, where they are in all of this. And if you can tell me how they're feeling about all of this. Did you talk to them? Did you tell them what you were trying to do? Did they support you?
So my dad, Herb Jackson, was a organizer. He fought literally to his death in 2002 to make sure that
That's right.
Yeah, no, but he was, you know, he's a fighter. Women, people of color, and Boston residents got on construction sites. And, you know, to this day, and it's funny because my dad rarely called me my name. He rarely called me Tito. He always called me my son. When I was a younger man, I wanted to go and not be like my dad and do all this. And I'm literally doing everything that my dad was doing. So I'm grateful. And then my mom, Rosa Jackson, lives in Jacksonville. That's I actually hadn't thought about that, but my mom lives in Jacksonville. And so she has been uber supportive to all of her children who were adopted. So that my parents had four kids biologically, and three of us are adopted. And I remind my older siblings that I was chosen, unlike them. They just had them. I mess with them all the time. But when it comes to my mom, she has been like so supportive. And in fact, she encouraged me many years ago to go find my mom. She thought it was really important. And she has been with me through every step of this. And just looking forward to having both of my moms in the same place at one time, because that has not happened yet. So I'm really excited for the day that comes.
Rachel, you've told us a story of a lot of pain and a lot of suffering and a lot of people who should have cared for you who let you down. And now this son comes back into your life, is ready for a relationship. What does this mean for you now, and what does it mean for your life going forward?
I welcome Tito into my life. I've had a tough life, but it's okay, because these are the benefits of me just plugging away. You know what I'm saying? I have a lot of faith, and I believe in my God. And I just knew that one day this was going to happen. I didn't know it was going to happen like this, and I didn't know he was going to be this big old guy and this public figure. And, you know, I just always wanted him to be healthy and okay. So with that being said, I live my life trying to be an overachiever and do good and be nice to people and try to raise my son so they could grow up and be productive citizens of this world. So if they ever meet this big brother, we all be proud of each other.
I'm proud of you, Madre.
Yeah.
I'm very proud of you. And I'm proud of your, like, there's so many people who would have given up. And by the way, rightfully so. Like, I'm not even, you know, there's so many folks who along the way, but your strength and your courage and your persistence and your unwillingness to give up is.
I just always wanted to be, I didn't care what else happened in my life. I just wanted to be the best mother I could be. And I wanted my children to love me. That's all I wanted. And they love me. And I just want Tito to love me.
Tito, can I ask you a couple of fun questions?
Yep.
And Rachel, hopefully you'll enjoy these too. Tito, first, why Madre?
You know, that's what she told me to call her. So she's my mama, and she told me to call her Madre. So that's what I.
Well, I'll have to answer that question. Answer that question for you. So, I live in New Bedford. I'm the neighborhood mom. I only have sons, so most of the people that are around me are male. I adopted this young man named Angel. He's Spanish, and he started calling me Madre. Because I take care of everybody's children. When they don't want to take care of them, that's me. That's what I do.
All right, Tito, last question. Do you have her eyes or her nose or her smile or...
I have her eyes. I have her nose. I'm a little bit taller than her. give or take a foot and some change. But no, definitely, I definitely favor my mom. I look like my brothers. I'm a little bit taller than them too, which is it's helpful because I get to change the light bulbs in her house. My brother Steven and Michael a little bit smaller than me, but this is all nature nurture stuff. My adoptive mom Rosa is essentially the same type of person that Madre is in terms of the community. She had a daycare for 25 years. She had her 7 kids. And so I just am really, really lucky. And I thank God every day for this miracle that has been brought into my life with being able to meet my birth mom and to build a relationship with her. And it means a lot to me that she's proud of me. And it has been a very positive experience between us, but I definitely have to acknowledge the folks who this may be too much for them. And we need to honor and hold space for people who are in that spot.
It's hard. I've been through so much all by myself. I thank God for just keeping me together and holding me so I can be this woman that I am.
And Madre, I love you.
I love you too.
I do.
That was former Boston City Councilor Tito Jackson, CEO of Verdant Medical, and his birth mother, Rachel Twyman, telling us the story of their reunion. For anyone listening who may need help, you can reach the Boston Area Rape Crisis Center at 1-800-841-8371 and the National Sexual Assault Hotline at 1-800-656-4673. You can also reach the Home for Little Wanderers at 617-288-7450.